Father's intention or the Father's vision is that he will manifest himself through everyone, every part of the body of Christ. Experience will be measured. Your victory will be measured according to the purity of your doctrine. Your progress will be measured according to the soundness of your doctrine. Things have the power to shape a believer's future. They continue steadfastly first in the apostles' doctrine, because it is from this doctrine that the power will flow with the intention that God had in mind. Amazing blessing. And the things we did last Sunday is actually an expression of the primitive apostolic practice. What do you think? Glory to God. We had time to pray. We had time to press into God. We had time to pour our heart before God in love and in honor for him. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Praise God forevermore. Primitive apostolic practices, part two. I told us in the opening session that there are people who wonder why we title a message with such seriousness. Primitive, that's serious. Apostolic, that's serious. Practices, amen, that's serious. Hallelujah. And I told you that as a trainer, we must align our syllabus to fit God's expectation. And what is God's expectation? God's expectation is he wants to find full expression through every part of the body of Christ. That is his vision for the New Testament church. Are we together? We say the New Testament church is different from the Old Testament church. The church that Moses led in the wilderness is quite different from the church that we lead in the New Testament. Are we together? Moses was the superstar in the church that he led, but that is not God's intent for the New Testament church. Hallelujah. Only Moses knew the ways of God. The rest knew his act. That is not God's vision for the New Testament church. As far as God's expectation is concerned, every member of the church in the New Testament should know his ways. Are you with me? We should know his ways. Every member. They are no superstars. The manifestations of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit without. You read that in 1 Corinthians 12. So that is God's vision. The workings of miracles, the display of eternal verities, the display of the power and the glory of heaven, the manifestations of his wisdom, the display of divine essence is the right of every believer in the New Testament. Hallelujah. Praise God. If that's God's expectation, we must tailor our curriculum to fit that expectation. That means we can't. I even say something very funny in the opening scripture. I say, run away from any church that wants to turn you to a consumer continually. Amen. Because we are not raising consumers. We are raising an army. Glory to God. And you see, in raising an army, there is a way to train. In raising an army, there's a curriculum. Glory to God. In raising an army, there is a way to communicate. There is training. Hallelujah. There are practices. There is equipping. Glory to God forevermore. And that this is a sign of every true apostolic church, that there is a concern about the training and the development of the people beyond just coming to church to receive, beyond just coming to church to get blessed, quote unquote. You understand what I mean? Beyond just coming to church to have their needs ministered to. You must be interested in getting equipped for your ministry, in getting equipped for the fulfillment of God's plan for your life, which is what ministry is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, if that is God's expectation, we should have teachers like this, primitive apostolic practices. You see, in the early church, what we are saying was a reality. The Bible says in Acts chapter 8 that they went everywhere. Every man went everywhere preaching the gospel. That means after they were scattered by persecution, every part of the body of Christ took part in the preaching of the gospel. It's there in Acts chapter 8. Glory to God forevermore. We saw a deacon in that Acts 8 who went to a city and turned an entire city right side up. I mean, he shot the network for a popular sorcerer who was regarded as the great power of God. He shot his network and took him out of business until the man started following him. Glory to God. He was a deacon. What happened? He was properly raised. He was properly discipled. And this is the picture of the church you must have. That we would have businessmen who express the fullness of the Spirit. We'll have politicians who carry the power of God, who have models, fashion people, who are anointed to the teeth. Are you here? Glory to God forevermore. So this thing is no longer reserved for pulpit minister. Everybody has to get involved. This is what we're saying. And this is why we're teaching this way. The prophets attested to this reality. Moses said in Numbers chapter 11 verse 29, I believe, when they came and told him that, look, 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 the Spirit of the Lord came upon Eldad and Medad, who were in the camp. They were not among the 70 elders, that's 68 now, who were with Moses. The Spirit of God came upon them in an unusual way, in an unusual place. And then I believe it was Joshua or one of Moses' associates, they came and met him and said, forbid them from prophesying. And Moses said, are you jealous for me? Are you troubled for my sake? I would to God that all of God's people were prophets. Did you see that? I would to God that all of God's people were prophets. He was voicing the mind of God. Who are prophets? Prophets are those who receive revelation from God and speak for God on the earth. What is he saying? God's vision is that every believer should receive from God and speak for God on the earth. That's what he's saying. I would to God that all of God's people were prophets. Joel said the same thing in the last days. Yet God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall dream dreams. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see vision. Upon thy handmaid and maidservant, I will pour out my spirit. And we began to see, they began to see the fulfillment of that prophecy from Acts 2. Are we together? Which was the birth of the church. So everything pointing to the reality that God would that all of his people were prophets. Not sitting in the office of a prophet, but be able to access divine secrets, be able to understand God, to receive revelation from God, and represent God and speak for him effectively on the earth. This is the focus of the end time church. Are we together? This is the focus of the end time church. Glory to God forevermore. So primitive apostolic practices, this is what it's about. The things that the early church did that programmed them to give expression to God in fullness. That's what we're talking about. Hallelujah. That's what we're talking about. All right. So we said our landing page to the series will be Acts 2, 41, 47. I said especially 42 is our focus. So we read 41 to 47 2 weeks ago. We'll just go straight 42 today, and then I'll take it on from there. 42. All right. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. They continued how? Steadfastly. They continued how? Steadfastly. In the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Hallelujah. So the first thing we see as a practice was commitment to sound doctrine. That was where we began, I believe. Commitment to sound doctrine. And we had an amazing time. If you are not around for that service, go get the materials online. Commitment to sound doctrine. Commitment to sound doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, in those days, there were different kinds of doctrines. The Pharisees had their doctrines. The teachers of the law had their doctrine. The philosophers had their doctrines. The various groups that existed in those days had their doctrines. In fact, in the days of Jesus, there were doctrines. You remember, Jesus told them, beware of the leaving of the Pharisees, you remember? And he told them clearly that he was talking about the doctrine of the Pharisees. And we use that to explain the power of doctrines. Hallelujah. So in this space, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. In the apostles' doctrine, which equals sound doctrine. And we're going to see that today. In the apostles' doctrine, which he calls sound doctrine, they were not just giving their ears to every kind of doctrine. Doctrine that simply means the body of truth that determines the system of belief of a person or a group of people. That's what doctrine means. So they paid attention to the doctrine of the apostles. So the body of truth, and listen, there's a definite doctrine. There is a definiteness to what you call sound doctrine. There is. According to the Bible, there is a definiteness to sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is not subjective. That means we cannot say that, well, this is sound doctrine by so and so denomination. This is sound doctrine by this other denomination. This is what sound doctrine means by this minister. This is your own opinion. This is my opinion. This is my own opinion. There's nothing like that. It is not subjective. So it's serious stuff. There's a definiteness to what we call sound doctrine. And we're going to get into that. We began that the other time, actually. Are we together? Doctrine is powerful. It determines the direction of a believer's life. Paul, referring to doctrine in Ephesians 4, called it wind. Ephesians 4, reading down. He said, I will be not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Wind is prophetic of spirit. Can you see that? Moses, in his song in Deuteronomy 33, I believe. That's Deuteronomy 33. He says, my doctrine shall be like the rain. Again, rain is prophetic of spirit. What does that tell you? There is a spirituality to doctrine. That means the body of truth you subscribe to opens you up to influence of the spirit that back those doctrines. That means if a doctrine is not sound, there are spirits that sponsor it. If you give your ears and submit your ears to such doctrines, you will come under the influence of that spirit. Are we together? I told you last week that the number one entry point of spirit into any life, any place, any sphere, any group of people is doctrine. So doctrine is powerful. Very powerful. And he said, the Lord began to talk to me a little while back that, look, it's time to pay attention to doctrine. It's time to, not personally now, to be more conscious in raising people who are schooled in sound doctrine. Apart from that, there will be confusion. Apart from that, believers will be unstable. He said that in Ephesians 4, he said that you be not tossed to and fro. What does that suggest? Instability. Instability. That means people are unstable when they are not schooled in sound doctrine. That you be not tossed to and fro. Instability. In Hebrews 13, he says the same thing. If you read from verse 7 downwards, verse 7 to 9, he says the same thing. He says, verse 7 talks about following those, put it up for me, Hebrews 11, 7. He says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, considering the outcome of their manner of life. Again, that's part of this, the test of sound doctrine. You look at the result in the people's lives. He said, considering the end of their conversation and the end of their manner of life. The Greek word, the word translated conversation, that means manner of life. The outcome of their lives show that Jesus is consistent. Shows that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then verse 9 talks about, for it is a good thing for the heart to be established with grace, but not carried about with diverse and strange doctrine. You are seeing that being carried about. Instability. Listen, without this schooling in sound doctrine, you look at a wizard and call him a prophet. Because many believers don't even know what is the core of scripture. They don't know how do we interpret the Bible. They don't know what is sound doctrine. How do we divide the word? 2 Timothy. We see 2 Timothy. Last week, I believe we read that last week. I really believe we did. So 1 Timothy 4. Just a moment. Thank you, Lord. Are you blessed already? 2 Timothy 2:15, rather. That was the first one we read. 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. We saw that there is a right way to divide the truth, the word of truth. But it takes diligence. It's painstaking. That's what he's saying. It's a study to show thyself approved unto God. Interestingly, the Greek word translated study there is spoudazo. It means to make effort, to be diligent. It means to labor. So he's saying, labor to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Labor, give diligence. So it takes diligence. It takes paying attention. You must have the time to. You can't say this doctrine thing. Me, as a Christian, I just want to get blessed. I want my business to move forward. I want my family to move forward. I want my financial life to move forward. I just want to get blessed. God loves me, that's enough. No, no, no. You must be interested in rightly dividing the word of truth. You should train your spirit such that when a doctrine is not sound, you know. When the word of God is not rightly divided, you know. Are we together? He said, be diligent as a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing orthotomio. It means to cut through with surgical precision. You see, like a surgeon knows his anatomical landmark. If you want to assess an organ in the human body, there's a way to cut. Those who are doctors here know. That's what he's talking about. That means there's a precision to cutting the word. There's a way to cut the word. That's what he's saying. Are we together? Glory to God forevermore. That's what he's saying. And we must be interested. We must. I have a curriculum in the maturity school, how to study the Bible. Nobody should miss that thing. Hallelujah. We must be interested. Glory to God forevermore. We must be interested. Hallelujah. All right, so there's a definiteness to the body of truth that we call sound doctrine. It is not subjective. When you read, we're going to read a lot of scriptures right away. When you read the Bible, especially in the New Testament, you hear expressions like the doctrine, that model or type of doctrine, the doctrine, sound doctrine. You hear it, there's a definiteness to it. Acts 13:12. Let's begin to read now. Acts 13:12. Acts 13:12. You see, then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Are you seeing that definite article? He was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Remember, this was Sergius Paulus. His encounter with Paul, when Elymas the sorcerer almost swayed him from hearing the truth of God's word. But what I want you to see there is the doctrine of the Lord Jesus. Definite article, Romans 6:17. Romans 6:17. Quickly, Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that ye were the servant of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. There was a form of doctrine. There was a type of doctrine. That's what Paul was saying. He said, there's a definite body of truth that I delivered unto you. Did you see that? There's a definite body of truth that I delivered unto you. That form of sound doctrine that I delivered unto you. There's a definiteness to it. Romans 16:17. Very quickly. Romans 16:17. Romans 16:17. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. There was the doctrine that they were taught. It says, avoid those who cause division among you, contrary to the doctrine. Contrary to the doctrine. Contrary to that body of truth that was presented to you, that gave you a way of thinking, that controlled your system of believing. So we see that definite article again. The doctrine which you have learned, and says, avoid those people. Avoid those people. That means you have to protect sound doctrine. You have to protect yourself as far as this sound doctrine is concerned by avoiding those who are divisive and say things contrary to the sound doctrine. You avoid them. Glory to God. Praise God forevermore. 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy 1 is a long read, but we'll jump to 10 and 11. 1 Timothy 1. There Paul was saying that sound doctrine is the glorious gospel of the blessed God. That's what he was saying. That's what he was saying. He says, and for whoremongers, for them that defy. Read, put verse 3, then jump to 10. He says, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some. He said that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Verse 4. Then the tempter for us to read the whole thing. He says that they teach no other doctrine, neither give it to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Verse 5. Let's just run through. We're in church already, so let's read scriptures. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Verse 6. From which some having swayed have turned aside unto vain jugglings. Is also giving you a test of doctrine. Love. Love unfeigned. Faith. Desiring to be teachers of the law. Understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Verse 8. But we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Oh dear. But for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for the sinners, for unholy, the profane, the murderers, the fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. Verse 10 now. For whoremongers, for them that defy themselves with mankind, for men stealers, kidnappers, amen. For liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Can you see that? Verse 11. The sound doctrine is according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. He's getting serious now. So he's giving you a picture of what sound doctrine is. He's saying sound doctrine is according to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, which was committed to his trust. So anything outside the jurisdiction of the gospel is not sound doctrine. Let's see, read 1 Timothy 6:3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine, Kai, that is the doctrine which is according to godliness. Can you see that? Can you see that? So he's talking about the doctrine again. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Even the teaching is painstaking. Glory to God. But it's worth it. Without this, you have an unstable generation of believers that run after all kinds of things, that vacillate between opinions. Without sound doctrine, a believer cannot be established. You know what it means to be established? There's stability. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap for themselves teachers, having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Why do you have people carrying cutlass on billboard? It's a night of judgment, judging your enemy with cutlass and military uniform in the name of prophetic acts. A gap in sound doctrine. They say you want to marry. You know, in Africa, ladies are desperate to marry. And if you mix that expiration with a lack of sound doctrine, you are already in trouble. I'm told that there are prophets who bathe people naked because the people want to get married. We have heard those stories. They say you bring special soup, they bathe you naked so that favor can come upon you and then you can get married. They have heaped for themselves teachers, false teachers having itching ears. Why? A gap in sound doctrine. And somehow they'll get to believe. Why? Their hearts were not established in grace. So they can be tossed to and fro by every wind. They can be moved here and there by diverse doctrines. What's the meaning of that? What's the meaning of that? Does the prophet have another Bible? But see, it's a gap in sound doctrine. Are you with me this morning? Hallelujah. Which did we just read? 2 Timothy? Okay. Titus 1:9. Thank you, Jesus. Titus 1:9. He said, holding fast the faithful words,
as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince what? Naysayers. Hallelujah. That means he was taught the sound doctrine and he expects him to communicate to other people. Glory to God forevermore. What a blessing. So what I wanted to prove to you from these scriptures is the reality of the definiteness of what we call sound doctrine. Paul kept referring to his doctrine with the definite article, the doctrine, sound doctrine. Are we together? So it's, we're not talking about his subjective stuff. It's definite. And when you go to scriptures, understanding how to rightly divide the word, you will arrive at sound doctrine. That's what I said. Can we move further now? Let's begin today's work. The first proof of sound doctrine is in its affirmation of Christ as the central theme of scriptures. John chapter 5, verse 39. Quickly. John 5, 39. Hear me. The first proof of sound doctrine is in its affirmation of Christ as the central theme of scriptures. We'll see that there. Affirmation of Christ as the central theme of scriptures. Listen, any theology that does not magnify the revelation of Jesus is fake. You know why? In the New Testament, our theology is Christology. Did you get that? That's what our theology is. Because you cannot know God outside the revelation of Jesus. For no man has seen the Father except the Son, who came from the bosom of the Father, who is in the bosom of the Father. Glory to God forevermore. Well, let's read the scriptures. He says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. Let me read it from the TPT for you. Let's do it this way. Begin from 36. Let's read from 36 to 39. Then I'll read from TPT for you. Thank you, Lord. Are you blessed already? Thank you, Lord Jesus. It says, but have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father had given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father had sent me. Verse 7. And the Father himself, which had sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. That means John the Baptist did not see a dove. It was a figure of speech. It was a figure of speech. You know, in that course on how to study the Bible, you will see common difficulties in interpreting the Bible. One of them is the fact that the Bible, just like every literary material, is filled with figure of speech. So somebody said the Holy Spirit was a dove. John saw dove coming upon Jesus. No. This Jesus saying, you have never seen. Go back to 37 now. Let me show you again. Look at this. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And even in the law of Moses, he told them categorically not to use any image to represent. He said it there. Glory to God. Are we together? And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he had sent, him you believe not. 39 now. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Well, let me just read from here. I need to listen, since it's not about. Can you pay attention? He says, but I can provide more substantial proof of who I am that exceeds John's testimony. My miracles, these works which the Father destined for me to complete, they prove that the Father has sent me. And my Father himself, who gave me this mission, has also testified that I am his son. But you have never heard his voice, nor seen his form. Nor does his word truly live inside of you. For you refuse to believe in me, or to embrace me as God's messenger. Listen to this. You are busy analyzing scriptures, poring over them, hoping to gain eternal life. Everything you read points to me. Here's where I'm going. Everything you read points to me. Everything you read points to me. That means the core of scripture is Christ. Are you here? That means the summit of the revelation of scripture. Now, if I said, using the word summit, suggests that you can look at the scripture like a mountain. Are we together? And if you look at it like a mountain, there are many sides you can see. You can see the principle side, glory to God. You can see the philosophical side, glory to God. You can even see a literary side. That means you can use the Bible as a literature material. You can see the moral lesson side. There are many things you can see. You can see even the scientific side. Albert Einstein got scientific principles and formula from scriptures. You can see the human social work side of scriptures. But that is not the summit of scripture. The summit is the revelation of Jesus. He says everything. Let me read it to you again. He said everything you read points to me. Everything, not some things. Everything you read points to me. Are you getting this now? We're getting there gradually. Everything you read points to me. Everything you read points to me. Everything you read points to me. Listen, there's what I call reversed interpretation of scriptures. That means you have to depend on the New Testament to review the Old Testament. When you read the writings of Paul and the apostles, you hear them use the expression, the mysteries hidden from ages and generations, the mysteries concealed, the mysteries which no man knew, which no man had known. You hear them use the expression mysteries. What are they saying? Are they trying to say that God is mysterious? Are they trying to say that God wants to be a mystery continually? No, that is not what they are saying. What they are simply saying, and I'm going to show you the scriptures with time. What they are simply saying is this. You need to hear this. That the Old Testament was a mystery concealed. The New Testament is the revelation of the concealed mystery. Oh, did you get that? That means through the law and the prophets, there was a mystery that was contained. And when we talk about mystery, mystery doesn't mean something that is undiscernible. Mystery means a hidden secret kept to be revealed in due season to the initiated. Did you get that? That means in the Old Testament, there were realities that were hidden. In the New Testament, through the teaching of Jesus and the epistles especially, those mysteries have been revealed. So the epistles are the revelation of the mysteries concealed in the law and the prophets. This is what the Bible is. That means to truly understand the Old Testament, you must read the New Testament. It's a reality. And that means as you study the New Testament, to review the Old Testament, what you meet as the Old Testament is unpacked is Christ at the center of it. That's what you meet. That's what you meet. You will see Christ revealed. This is the foundation of sound doctrine. I said it earlier, any theology that doesn't have Christ at the center of it is fake. Because for us, theology is Christology. It is. Let me prove that to you with scriptures. John 1:18. He said, no man has seen God. John 1:18, put it up. John 1:18. To study Christ is to study God. To know Christ is to know God. You can't find the true God outside the revelation of Christ. You can't. So any theology that doesn't teaching that doesn't magnify Christ. Any prophecy that doesn't magnify Christ is fake. It's not sound doctrine. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared or revealed him to us. The Bible says Christ is the express image of God's person. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. In Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's what the Bible says. The fullness of the Godhead. The fullness of the Godhead. To know Christ is to know God. The scriptures, he says, we just read it. Everything points to me. That's what Jesus said. Everything points to me. Everything points to me. Is Christ at the center? At the center of the teaching? Is Christ at the center of that ministry? Is Christ at the center of that doctrine? If Christ is not the center, it is not sound doctrine. If mysticism is the center, it is not sound doctrine. Are we together? If social work is the center, it is not sound doctrine. Listen, in the Old Testament, a lot of the focus is social justice. When you get into the New Testament, for obvious reasons, the focus of the New Testament is the eternal destiny of man, the eternity of man. Is there? Somebody said, what are churches doing? Foolish. It is amazing how some Nigerians are so foolish. They are so foolish, so foolish. They think the problem of Nigeria is pastors and churches. They say somebody died in the hospital because there are no, there were no working hospital medical equipment, and we have churches built everywhere. The insanity in the reasoning. And we are building more churches instead of building hospitals and schools. Madness on rampage. It's twisted thinking. That thinking doesn't even stand critical reasoning. Does it stand critical reasoning? No, it doesn't. What is the connection? Did you vote pastors into office? Are you paying your tax to them? You totally forgot the politicians you voted into office. Social works is what to do, but it's not the core of the New Testament. We do it as a byproduct of the gospel. Are we together? So don't harass churches because of your expectation of their social works responsibilities. No. That's not the focus of the New Testament. Like I always say, it's better to live in the jungles of Africa and have your soul saved, secured eternity, than live in the skyscrapers of London and be heading to hell. It sounds primitive, but it's true. True. Very true. You have to understand what is the core of scripture is. That's the first proof. Is Christ at the center of it? If it's not, it's not sound doctrine. Does it affirm that Jesus is the central theme of scriptures? If it doesn't, it's not sound doctrine. It's not sound doctrine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 2. Let's read it. What was the testimony of God that Paul declared? Read 1 to 5, actually. He says, I, brethren, when I came unto you, I didn't come with the excellence of your speech of wisdom. He's talking about human wisdom. Declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I was determined not to know anything among you except Christ, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Next verse. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So Paul is telling us that the testimony of God that He declared unto them was Christ and Him crucified. And it is in this doctrine that power is produced. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. That's what they say. The framework of God's dealing with men or with man on the earth is Christ crucified, Christ raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of majesty on high. That is the framework. Even before Jesus showed up, did you ever read from the Bible that the Lamb was slain from the foundations of the earth? Yes, he was slain. That is the framework. He was slain from the foundations of the earth. That is the framework. Kai. That means before Jesus hung on the cross, God was creditworthy. Let me explain what I mean. Why do you think Moses could part the Red Sea? Why do you think people could get healed in the Old Testament when Jesus had not died? The Lamb was slain from the foundations of the earth. Aye. Now, those of you that are bankers, you know how what creditworthiness means. You know how you can... The rules for accessing funds. Okay? That means there's a framework now. Nobody walks into a bank and say, give me 10 million naira or give me $10 million. There's this project I want to do. There's what we call credit worthiness. He can pay. He can pay. When we give him this money, he has what it takes to pay. That's credit worthiness. Are we together? Are we together? So you can give him this $10 million. He has what it takes to pay. That means Jesus had not hung on the cross yet on the earth, but the Lamb was slain from the foundations of the earth. That is God's credit worthiness. That means with that, he could do things in the Old Testament. Because when the Lamb hung on the cross, literally, that was the payment of what was done before he was crucified. I don't know if you got that. But that was the framework. That means even in the Old Testament, he's dealing with men. Was Christ, and he's everywhere now. I've taught it again and again and again. He was Christ. Abraham saw him. What did Jesus say? He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw him. He saw him. If it does not magnify Christ, it's not sound doctrine. If Christ is not at the center of it, it's not sound doctrine. If it does not project the Lamb slain from the foundations of the earth, the death, burial, resurrection, the sufferings of Christ, and the glories that should follow, is not sound doctrine. I've told you again and again that the location of the glory of God is on the face of Jesus. He said, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shone in our heart to give the knowledge of the glory of God. Where? On the face of Jesus Christ. When we talk about the explosion of God's glory, it's not the explosion of mysticism. No, it's not looking out and say, hey, this, the moon is red today. You know these people? They say the moon is red today. Have you seen the way the sky is today? Have you seen? Look at the three buses that passed. There was three on this one. There was one. There was five. What is this speaking prophetically? If you subscribe to this thing, to those things, Satan will whip you. That is not prophetic ministry. The Bible says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That means every true prophetic ministry gives testimony to the Christos. As Christ at the center of it. It's not looking at blood moon, planetary movement. I don't know where people got those things from. You can't stay in those things. No, you can't. That's then. Are you aware that Satan has a measure of control over those things? And you want to leave your faith to those things? That's dangerous. The Bible says, God who has sundry times and in diverse manner spoken to our Father, has in this last day spoken to us by his Son. God has only one language now, his Son. Only one language, his Son. Only one language, his Son. Only one language, his Son. He doesn't speak outside his Son. The early church was committed to sound doctrine. Somebody said something recently and it touched me. He said, very soon, what's the name of that guy that is a comedian? Who talks about, he said, he has not taught his power, all those things he says. He said, very soon now, maybe in the next few years, somebody will come and say he's a true prophet of God. No, very soon. A church that is not schooled in sound doctrine will soon, very soon, come and say, that's the prophet of God. And they will count the miracles and the good works that he did. The good works, philanthropy. Listen, when did philanthropy become the validation of a prophet from God? When? Then Bill Gates must be a prophet of God. Because they have not done half. They have not done one tenth. Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. How is Christ projected? How is the knowledge of God dispensed? Remember Luke 24. Oh, I'm out of time. We'll continue in second service. Are you blessed? Truly, are you blessed? Rise to your feet. Let's close first service. Hi. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Try not to miss second service. Either on ground and online. Thank you. Can you speak in tongues wherever you are? Father, we thank you. Lebruskish de vrubates kaliatus kabaya. Montosish de brutoskele zaprano. Zushto vrapana sepeno kasaya. Zeki brutoskesh de brudakaba. In 1 minute, can you lift your right hand and speak in other tongues? If you are seated, be on your feet. Leso shte bruta ke balaska. In kapore dosa shte bruda ke razapone lika sashta. Shalika bruda se shte ponde kobra ziska shte pora diga. Em shalika bruta se shte pora kapatoska. Erepatos shte pronda kapatoska linda. Monta se shte bruta ski shte brudila kaya. Ila semata leko sashta. Mori petu seshte brutas kishte pora di laha Marakon seshte brutas kishta Momshte lida sabrunda ko seshta Inka bruda seshte bruka patuledi seshte brudida Mandali gabano seshte brudelida Rapatu seshte bruta lida Monte lida krus kishta Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we together? Listen, when we say speak in tongues for 1 minute, don't play with it, okay? I didn't say meditate for 1 minute. I could say meditate for 1 minute, then just stand. Even meditation self, you have to talk, amen? Praise God. I said speak in tongues for 1 minute with your right hand lifted. Speak it till it touches your belly. Remember, church is also a training center. Are we together? That means when you come to church, what is the difference between teaching and training? Teaching is the communication of information. Training is to transmit new way of behaving through teaching, instructions, and practices. That means if there are no instructions and practices, you are not being trained. Are you here? You are not being trained. The church is a training center also. It's not just a family. It's a training center where you are taught how to behave yourself in the house of God, where you are taught how to be a Christian, glory to God, how to be a true ambassador of Jesus. So if it's a training center, expect instructions and practices. And that means when, what it means to you to train is when instruction comes, you carry them out. When we say stand, you stand. When we say lift your right hand, that is why it's not just a teaching center, it's a training center. There has to be instructions and practices. Are we together? And this is why you see people in church who are not being trained, because the thing attending a church is just hearing teachings. No, teaching is just one of our three. or the definition I just gave, there has to be instructions. And when there are instructions, they have to be carried out in practices. Did you get that? So, in the process of time, there will be a difference between those who yielded to the instructions and the practices and those who did not. This is why people are stratified in church. There are those who act like they didn't hear the instruction, either because they are not taught or they are just being disobedient. But I don't want to think anybody wants to be disobedient. And that's why I'm teaching. Amen. That's why I'm bringing understanding that, look, when you come to church, it's also a place of hearing instructions, yielding to instructions, and engaging in practices. Are we together? So in 1 minute, can you lift your right hand? You will speak in tongues with the things you have heard on your mind, saying, Lord, I'm committed to sound doctrine. My eyes are open to see Christ and Him crucified. Lego rabasemata. Shalika brunda sushta pora dila. Entale brunda sushta pora. Embradika sushta pora dila kapaya. Maraponda sushta pora dila. Shaladika brunda sushta. Shaladika brunda sushta pora. Marabonga sushta ponda kibrenda kapoda. Embrakopatusa liga brunda sushta paya. Rakopatusa brunda kapa. Rakopatusila. Obradile kopasa, embradosiste bronda kibaruska, embrada kaponda, inkapora batosa. Shepali topa, maliko bratoska pale, malika pora dinga bronda kiba. Glory, malipala tonsa, ingabora dile sosta pa, raponda lika, horibala tonska. Irapora Badosa, Ela Balade, Mania Treale, Mananade, Ealocaba, Ea Nilele, Maladosa, Ela Dosa, Ela Dosa, Ela Malado, Ela Malado, Ela Malado, Eana Badonade. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 glory! Come on, can you rejoice at the word glory? Woo, glory!
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.